podcasting them softly for breakfast this morning. I'm not having bacon and eggs. I'm having booze, broads, and blackjack. And my guest is Ricky Bird Jr. He's the man behind it, the man with the plan, the man behind the camera. Ricky, welcome to podcasting them softly.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Mate, it's good. We're glad to have you. Crash. I love Crash in the movie, man. That shirt, that hair. Yeah, I feel like you're my attorney, not just some bum I picked up off the street.
Yeah, that wig was fun. We had a good time with that. It was a fun character.
Yeah. So tell us the Ricky Bird Jr. true Hollywood story. You grew up wanting to be a director. Now you are. Fill us in with the little in-between stuff there, if you could.
Well, basically, I was working on drilling rigs in California, and I got hit up to shoot a film, Booze, so I decided to do that instead of working out in the heat, and it's been, you know, pretty successful so far, but I've directed a few other independent films prior to Booze, so I was able to bring that experience on the, you know, low-budget indie front. To a little bit of a bigger budget, but it was a good time, and I'm happy to say I can finally call myself a director.
And what were the films when you were younger that lit the fire, so to speak?
Well, one of the ones I shot was Naked Zombie Girl.
Right.
And that one got a lot of attention. It premiered over here and the Chinese Theater, which is a big thing for any filmmaker, and then it was getting a lot of accolades. It won over, I think, 30 awards, and it's played all over the world. So that one was a really good heavy hitter. And then we've been involved in some other projects at other levels, to like just doing sound and then lighting and then also acting, just to understand other people's movie sets and how things work.
Right.
I think that's important,
Who are the filmmakers that influenced you?
I would say probably Robert Rodriguez, definitely Alfred Hitchcock and Steven Spielberg, and man, it goes on and on. I mean, I think every director is like their own personality, and then they have some kind of taste or talent,
Their visual style, though, their storytelling style are the greatest influences?
Yeah, I'd say Robert Rodriguez, just because he was able to shoot El Mariachi for $7,000,
right,
and kind of made his own career out of that. He was able to do it all by himself. And then Alfred Hitchcock, just on his planning and shooting style, just the way he plans out his movies from start to finish before they're even started, insane. And then just Spielberg on the pure. I think Spielberg is probably the only filmmaker that just makes you feel like you're really in the movie.
Right.
Very entertaining. So, but yeah, those would be probably my mains.
Your main ones?
Yeah, those would be my main three for sure.
So what kinds of...
But I have a lot of favorites.
Sure, we all do. So what... Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the genesis of the project of Booze. Bro, there's a lot of B's in there. Booze, broads, and blackjack. Tell us a little bit of the genesis of the project. Like, when you read the... Obviously, did you read the book first and love the book and
well,
get in touch with Carl? And...
Yeah, basically, I just saw the title, and then I was like... So I was at a film... We were at a First Friday. It's like an art thing, and we were promoting some of our other films, and Carl, the writer of Booze, Broads, and Blackjack, was also there, promoting his book, and one of my producer buddies was walking around, taking a break, and he saw the thing, and he just saw the title, and he goes, man, this is a title I know Ricky Bird will want to film. Are you able to make a movie? And Carl told my buddy Ed, he said, yeah, I have a screenplay, I want to shoot it. So they brought it over to me, and I didn't even read the book. I just looked at the title, and I was like, man, this is a solid title, man. It's got my attention.
Yeah.
So I didn't read the book. I read about the first chapter, but by that time he had already had the first draft of the script. So I just read the script first, just so we would kind of, because we had to tell a little bit of a different story, and I didn't want to be hung up on different elements in the book, So we kind of went that route. But yeah, the script came out fairly quick, and we did some reviews and reading on it, and sent it out to some people, chopped it down a bit because it was a little bit ambitious for the budget. Kind of scaled it down a little bit and then went with it.
Always when you're adapting a book, there's a lot that you leave out. Do you feel that you got the best of it, or were there things that you really wanted to do but had to compromise because of budget and so forth?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of both. I mean, I like to think of, it's two different mediums of storytelling, a book and a movie. Right. You're able to cram a lot of story, like a lot of story in a book, but not so much in a movie. So you've got to tell the story fairly quickly and make it move, stay fast-paced. So I think not reading the book and just kind of getting, because I was lucky enough to, meet with the writer, talk about all the characters and stuff and kind of analyze it. And then I read the book afterwards, but not reading the book kind of helped me to not, I think I wouldn't have, it would have been harder to make those decisions while shooting to take things out of the story. Cause I'm one of those guys, once I hear the story once, I get kind of married to it.
Right.
And I'm like, oh man, we got to have this and this and there. And sometimes that's not the best thing for, like a movie, because you want it to be fast paced and entertaining, you know, and you don't want it to drag out with, these scenes that aren't really, crucial to this medium of storytelling that you can get away with in a book, So.
If I may be so bold, what sort of budget were you working with? Because it's quite an expansive tale you tell. You got some great production value and photography, and it looks like you got all the bells and whistles. How much did you spend, roughly?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, okay. But we were definitely, I would say, under any major SAG film. We didn't even qualify for SAG low budget, let's just say, and micro budget.
Right.
So yeah, we were pretty low. Yeah. Well,
that's very impressive. I mean, if it's a figure somewhere around where I know most of these films get made, these independent films get made. It's very impressive. It looks very impressive. It's got a great cast, which I want to move on to. I feel like I should have talked to Sarah French. I feel like I've seen a lot of Sarah French lately.
You should definitely talk to Sarah French.
Yeah, I think I'll have to try and get in touch with her, because I've literally just the last film I did coverage for got her in it too. So and oddly enough, in similar compromising positions.
Yeah.
scenes for a more mature audience, ladies and gentlemen. But don't let your kids watch it and listen till they're old enough. But Sarah's in that, and you've got a good fella himself. You got Vincent Pastore, eh?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, man, he is a good fella. He was in Goodfellas. Joe Raffa, Jack King, man. It feels like it's a bad day for Jack King. He feels like he's cursed.
With the way
it goes, I mean, it's like a curse. I like what it said on the IMDb page. It says, "What happens in Vegas doesn't always stay in Vegas." But
ain't that the truth?
I thought that was a good tagline. I also thought of a great sequel. You guys want to do a sequel? You should call it "Don't Piss Off Uncle Vinny."
Yeah, I'm sure Carl will run with that one for sure.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that could be the sequel. But no, I mean, look, look. I mean, a great cast. You also had the chappy. What's his name? He plays Oscar. James Duvall's in this movie as well.
Oh yeah,
Independence Day and Donnie Darko. What was James? And what were all these? What were all these wonderful people like? Did you know some of them? Met him before, first time?
Well, what happened was we got Felissa Rose. I had worked with Felissa Rose on a few projects. She was in the film Sleepaway Camp, which if you haven't seen is a great horror movie.
Yeah. Very notorious.
She was in that film. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But it's so she knew a lot of these people, and she was able to come in as our casting director and kind of help us out. And then, it was cool to get James and a few of these others on the cast. It was really dope.
Yeah, and so the whole production itself, did it go according to plan? Obviously, you weren't hampered by the current pandemic standards and practices.
Yeah,
thank goodness, right?
Well, it was definitely hard. Yeah, it was hard just because we had almost 60 locations. So it was, that was difficult because we only had a crew of about 3 to 4 people at most.
Wow.
So we'd have to go and run and shoot at a spot and then told to leave that spot. And then a lot of the film we had to cheat because we couldn't afford to film in Vegas. So, we kind of like, compacted stuff. So a lot of the hotel areas of this one hotel at Starburst are scattered around locations I found in Bakersfield or built myself. Like I built the set for James Duvall's office, you know, because we couldn't find an office, so we just built that set.
Wow.
And then just stuff like that, you know, just giving some a couple cheats.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a labor of love, that's for sure.
Cool. No, I mean, watching it, it doesn't, the images belie the budget, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think it's really impressive. I think for the money that some of you guys spend, certainly a lot of the ones I've been watching lately doing some coverage for, I tell you what, you achieve some pretty masterful things. It strikes me as odd why people who, I don't know if people in Hollywood listen to me, but if they did, it just strikes me as insane why blokes like yourself and some of these independents don't get picked up. Because if this is what you can do with no money, imagine what you could do with a decent budget. I'm not talking $200 million.
Right.
But enough so that you can feed your crew something else other than KFC, you know what I mean?
Right, no, for sure.
You know.
Oh, and one thing, too, while we're on the cast, we also had Mr. Australia, Guy Grundy.
Yeah.
He's Mr. Australia for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So he's in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're working on a couple projects together. He's a good friend of mine. We just did a funny short film called, I don't know if I can say it, but No Mask, No Ass.
No Mask, No Ass.
It's pretty funny, yeah. It's a fake prostitute PSA.
Okay.
So, something to piss off everybody at once, you know, and make them laugh at the same time.
Right.
But it was pretty funny. Me and him did that together.
Lovely.
So.
Lovely. Beautiful. I really enjoyed this movie. Is it, whereabouts can people get about and see the film now?
Right now it's on Amazon Prime, and we're trying to get it on different platforms.
Right.
And then we're going to also have it on Vimeo on demand.
Mm-hmm.
So and then we're also working, since the pandemic we weren't able to premiere it in Bakersfield, and we had this big premiere planned.
Right.
So this big beautiful Fox Theater, it's really amazing. So I took a 360 camera and I shot the movie on the screen in 360 to give someone the experience of watching the film in the theater, in the middle perfect seat in the theater with the acoustics and everything on your headset.
Right.
So that will be available on boozebroadsandblackjack.com.
Right.
I think it's boozebroadsandblackjackthemovie.com, but that's one thing that we're almost in the end stages of making. But we shot it. It looked beautiful. It's cool to watch on the headset. I can't wait to share it. But basically it'll be, so you're able to watch it in a movie theater, you know, since a lot of them, especially in California, are shut down right now.
Booze, Broads, and Blackjack. I have to say it a little bit slower than Ricky. He's used to saying it because he's been doing a bunch of interviews. Go Booze, Broads, and Blackjack and doesn't stuff it up. But you heard just then how I stuffed mine up. Booze, Broads, and Blackjack. I need a couple of drinks to steady that. Thank you for being on Podcasting Them Softly.
Oh, no problem.
Been fantastic, mate. I hope that the film gets out there to the widest possible audience. It's a great story about how what happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas. It's a wonderful cast. My guest is a wonderful director who makes all this sort of magic with very little. It's very impressive, Ricky. I wish you all the best, mate, and
take
care.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sir. See you later on.